The Success in South Florida podcast is brought to you by the team at Rawson Law Firm. If you need DUI or criminal defense representation, call the Rawson Law Firm at 754-206-6200 or check the description of today's episode for more contact information. The Rawson Law Firm, helping good people when bad things happen so they can achieve their best futures.
Welcome to Success in South Florida, featuring interviews with entrepreneurs, leaders, and other movers and shakers across South Florida to find out how they're doing their part to enhance the local community. Your host is Adam Rawson, the founder and CEO of the Rawson Law Firm. Adam's an award-winning attorney, former prosecutor, and a lifelong South Florida resident. He became an attorney because he believes in helping those in need and in crafting lifelong relationships in the community. This podcast is an extension of that mission. Let's get to today's interview. Here's Adam Rawson.
Welcome to another episode of the Success in South Florida podcast. I'm your host, Adam Rawson, and on today's episode, we have a very special guest, my good friend, Samah Aboukadir. She goes by Sam. So Sam, welcome to the pod, and I want you to introduce yourself. Tell us about you and how amazing you are.
Thank you so much for having me, Adam, and thank you for calling me a friend. I really take that seriously. My name is Samah Aboukadir, but I go by Sam, like you said. I am the owner and founder of the Florida Probate and Family Law Firm, headquartered in Coral Gables with 6 offices in total all over the state of Florida. We're slowly expanding, and by slowly, I mean very quickly expanding. Our latest office is in Tampa. 50% of the firm does family law, so think anything family-related, divorce, child custody, domestic violence, alimony, paternity, you know, adoption, anything like that. And then the other 50% of the firm is probate, so think inheritance, inheritance disputes, mom and dad pass away, leave behind some assets, kids want those assets, also do guardianship. Goes in the probate world, so incapacity, anything with dementia, Alzheimer's, and estate planning, making sure that when these things happen, everything's in order and you get to choose who gets your belongings.
Perfect. Really cool stuff. And I know you've built a great firm that we're going to talk about. So of course, naturally, ever since you were a small child, you wanted to grow up and own a law firm that does family and probate, right?
Absolutely not.
All right. So let's talk about that. So what was life like growing up for you?
So I grew up in a very small town called Lake Wales, Florida. We were the only Arab and Muslim family that I knew of growing up. There's a couple now, but we don't live there anymore. And it was tough. I mean, being the only, you know, brown family in town, to make it as simple as possible, it was different. And my dad is a doctor. He doesn't practice. And so I saw that as what I wanted to be in the future, went to FSU for undergrad, was pre-med, wanted to do something child psychology related, wanted to do mental health, which is really interesting because that's part of my practice now. And I didn't pick it, it picked me. So yeah, I wanted to be a doctor, decided last minute that it was probably not going to align with the family life that I wanted because there were so many years of schooling. Jokes on me, law school is almost just as long. And so, yeah, that's what led me in this direction. I didn't know what to do, decided to take the LSATs and went to law school.
I knew you grew up in Lake Wales, but I never knew about that story that you wanted to be a doctor first, because actually I did as well. My dad's a dentist and I always grew up wanting to be a doctor or a lawyer, but skewed towards doctor. And then I went to UF, the better school. And
we won't hold that against you. It's okay.
Right. And so I went to UF and I could not get through organic chemistry or biology at all. And, you know, it was a class of 700 people taught by a TA that barely spoke English. And I was just like, you know what? I don't even really like, I don't want to go through this. I think I always liked law better. I loved the show Law and Order. I loved arguing. I loved being right. I always thought criminal law was fascinating. So I switched to a dual degree of criminology and psychology, double major. And I always had that kind of same thing with mental health. And we have a big mental health practice in our criminal defense firm as well. So that's really cool. Yeah. That you kind of had a similar path. When was it in college where you really said, hey, this is not going to align with my future life path?
My junior year. So my third year of undergrad at FSU, I just realized this is really difficult. Not that I was a straight A student, even in college. And I just thought, am I wanting to suffer in school and do this all over again? Another 4 years of med school, another 2 to 4 years of specialization and fellowship. I really wanted kids. I really wanted to get married. Not that I had anybody that I was dating, but I just thought ahead and was like, this probably will not be the lifestyle that I want. I want to be a stay-at-home mom and work and do everything that I can. So I decided third year of college to switch to psychology and child development. And I really loved it. The issue became my senior year when I needed to decide, am I going to get a master's in psychology and a PhD? Or am I going to do something different? And so I took my my GRE, and then I also took my LSATs and did well on both, and then decided a week before law school that I was going to law school.
Oh, nice. So you had applied to everything, and then just literally right before you said, I'm going.
Yeah, because okay.
What was the moment? Like that week before, right? Did you just wake up and say, all right, this is it? Or was it kind of a slow build over the summer?
It was really confusing because I applied to NYU for their mental health program, their master's in mental health. And I really wanted to do that. But then FIU also told me, they called me up and they're like, we need a decision right now on the phone. And I was like, I can't make this decision. I really don't know. I need to talk to my parents. I need to pray about this, like figure out what's the right path. And honestly, I don't agree with our education system going back to education, in that you're supposed to decide what you want to do the rest of your life at 20 or 21. I think I was 20 years old, what you want to do. A 20-year-old, their brain is not even fully developed to know what you're going to do the rest of your life. But I asked for a 24-hour window to decide, and she called me back, one of the deans. She called me back the next day, and I was like, can I get another 24 hours? And she's like, you're killing me, Sam. And so I just felt like a law degree could give me so much opportunity to do different things. I didn't need to practice law. I didn't need to, you know, be the typical lawyer in the courtroom, even though that's what I kind of wanted at this point. So I decided law school, a law degree is probably smarter than a specific degree in a specific area.
You know, that's actually something that my grandfather told me as well when I was young. He said, look, with a law degree, you can literally do anything. So even if you don't want to practice law, which at the time I was like, oh, I want to be that courtroom, you know, superstar. I want to be the best prosecutor or criminal defense attorney in all of South Florida. But he said, you can do anything with the degree. So it's so valuable. And yeah, so I definitely understand, you know, and I'd agree. It's a very valuable degree if you use it right. So then that's how you went to law school, right? Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Amazing story. Did not know that at all. And all right, so you go to law school, you know, let's fast forward a little bit. So here you are now, you have your own law firm. Walk us through the process of starting your law firm. How old were you? You know, what made you go ahead and do that? Because there's a lot of people who, most people actually would say, look, let me clock in, clock out, or let me be that amazing technician. I love the law, but I don't want to have to deal with running a business. Ooh, that's terrible. All right. So why'd you want to do that?
Again, my answer is I didn't. I never wanted to start my own firm. I wanted to be a partner. I like the idea of collaborating with others. I like bouncing ideas off of people. I didn't want to do my own thing. And that's the way that I saw starting a firm, doing my own thing. And it was super scary. But the opportunity came about on its own. I was offered partnership after 5 years of practicing at various law firms. Let me rewind, actually. During law school, I did an externship with the administrative probate judge. So I knew I really liked probate. My husband got me into it. He was like, Sam, I just finished my externship. You really got to do this. So I did. I loved it. I got offered a job week two of the externship. So I was doing the externship, working for a probate litigation firm and taking 18 credit hours. And I realized, okay, I want to do something with probate. So I ended up going and working as an associate for various firms. And then after 5 years, got the offer to be partner, equity partner, actually. Decided, I don't know if I want that. I actually want to start as a non-equity partner. But then in negotiations, realized this is not aligning with what I want for my future. So my now husband told me, he's like, start your own firm. I have my own firm. You can do this. You can do this better than me. And so he pushed me, and that was almost 5 years ago.
Wow. And so what was it about partnership at another firm that didn't align with your future? Was it more flexibility? Was it hours worked? Was it just at the end of the day, you make all the final calls? What was it that kind of changed your mind?
So at the previous firms that I was at, I was kind of running my own mini firm, meaning I was bringing in hundreds of thousands of dollars of business. I was billing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of work. I was networking like a beast. I was training employees, doing payroll. I mean, you name it. I was learning as I was going, just under somebody else. Going to conferences to learn how to run a business, even though I was just an associate, a senior associate. And I think that once the offer was presented to me, I realized that I was worth more than any number, number one, because even with the number I wanted, I ended up getting it. But then I realized, you know what? It's not about the number. It's about flexibility. I want to be a mom. I want to be able to do what I want. I want to teach at the university, which I have been for the last 5 years. I want to be able to bounce around and be able to create a multi-million dollar firm, which I have, thank God. But I also want to be able to do it at the same time as doing other things that are going to elevate me in the community.
Okay. And so what kind, that's from a lot of the people that I talk with, it's very similar. It's about flexibility, but it's also about creation. It's about, whether it's creating your own destiny or creating a firm or something that, whether it has your name or a trade name that you just know that your blood, sweat, and tears is in that, hey, like, in a way, kind of like a baby, like I made this, right? And I'm building this. And what I've noticed, the difference between the people that have the entrepreneur spirit versus just the, amazing technician, is that building or creation mindset. So as you guys are building, right, this multi-million dollar firm with amazing goals, what does that vision look like to you, 5 years from now? And I know you do EOS with Caesar, who's also been on the pod. And so, yeah, when you guys are having those, quarterly and annual sessions, what are you guys striving towards?
That's a great question, because I didn't really know what our vision was. We've been growing, again, thank God, so quickly that I didn't know what my end goal was. But I have vision because we have sat down with Caesar, who's amazing, and he's helped me visualize where I want my future to be, what I want to create, all of these things. And part of my story, which I didn't really go into, but I can go into now, when you're growing up and you don't have money, and then you create your baby, which is this firm, this was my first baby, everything goes into it. There's no choice of failing. And I'm sure many people say that with their businesses, but literally I couldn't fail. My dad retired the same year that I started my firm. And my parents depended on me financially. So I didn't have a choice. So I knew that my vision in the beginning was just to survive and to make enough money to be able to support myself and my parents. My vision now is so much bigger. I want to be able to have multiple offices all over the state of Florida. We're already at 6. I know it's going to be much more. I want to be able to help families that are similar to my family, to be honest. When you grow up with not very much, I don't want people to feel like they don't have options, right? I want them to know they're hardworking people. My parents worked 3 jobs each to make sure my sisters and I survived and thrived. And we did. So I want the same thing. I want to cater to the families that are like my family, first generation immigrants, hardworking families that still need help and that we're able to help, because my firm has people of different cultures, religions, skin colors, everything. So we're able to relate to anyone that comes through the door and, be able to tell them, yes, we can help you, or no, we're not the right fit, but I'll tell you who is.
Right. And so that's such a breath of fresh air, because a lot of people that we meet at conferences, it's, well, I want to grow. Why? I want more money. I want to buy a plane. I want to buy a boat. Right. Those are great things to have, of course. But the fact that you have a mission to help people in the Florida, well, not just the South Florida, but the Florida community, right? To make our place better and to assist people who are going through a bad time in their life, right? Whether it's probate or they need guardianship or they're going through some family law issues. Those are all, nobody gets excited about those things. So, maybe some heirs in a probate, right? But nobody really gets excited about those things. And to make it more accessible, you know, I know we definitely, all across the board, we need greater access to lawyers. Regular people just need greater access to lawyers. And that's a whole other topic for a different day. I think the Florida bar actually hinders that with a lot of their restrictions, but that's a different topic rant that we can go on another day. But yeah, so I mean, that's amazing. Obviously, you need to build a business, you need to support employees and not just support them, but make their lives, you know, help them make their lives financially stable and more enjoyable. And obviously that requires money and a bunch of other things. But yeah, I mean, that to me, that seems like an amazing, well-rounded vision that you have for your law firm.
Thank now, you. Sam, I appreciate that.
Sam, how old were you when you started the firm?
30.
Okay. So 30 years old, you have a boyfriend at the time. You don't have, I mean, you have family issues that you need to take care of, but you talked about kind of there was no room for failure. So expand upon that with your mindset. You know, did you feel extra pressure? Did you just nose to the grindstone? Like, what did you do with that mentality?
I definitely had a lot of pressure, but I thrive under pressure. I knew that I needed to bring in business. I knew that I had a part-time law clerk in myself. And I also knew that although I didn't take any business classes, I would teach myself and I would have my husband teach me what he knew through his firm. So even though I didn't have business experience, I'm business minded. And I quickly learned that the way to continue growing was to hire and hire the right people. So I, within a year and a half, I think, acquired a family law firm. Brought over the attorney who owned that firm, and now she's part of our firm, runs our family law department, has been practicing for as long as I've been alive, and just made smart business decisions to be able to get to the 25 to 30 team members that we have now. But I had to take every decision and really analyze it to make sure that I was doing the right thing to continue growing.
And how did you deal with fear during those decision-making processes?
So I suffer from severe anxiety. I've been like that since I was a kid. I would stay up at night, not able to sleep, but I did things. Mental health is important, especially in our career choices. I think a lot of attorneys have mental health issues and they go ignored. And that is something that we really, really, really need to work on in Florida. For me, it was exercising, doing yoga, going out, taking breaks, doing as much as I could that didn't focus on just the business. And although I'm saying these things, I was working easily 80 to 100 hours a week when I started the business. So it was not healthy. But now I'm happy to report almost 5 years later, slowly taking the time to focus on my own health and building a team has allowed me to not work those hours anymore. So I would be lying if I said when you start your business, it's going to be, you know, rainbows and roses. It's not. It's really, really hard. And it's not for everyone. But you put your mind to it and you take care of yourself and your mental health and your business is going to do just fine.
Right. And you've had great coaching as well along the way.
Yes. I started with how to manage a small law firm about a year and a half after I started my firm. I have a money mindset issue that I'm happy to talk about. I didn't start with them immediately because I was scared of spending the money. And I thought, you know, every penny that we make, I've got to save, right? I wish I didn't think like that, because if I would have started with coaching earlier, I feel like that would have pushed me to do things earlier on. Whereas, you know, and I still have issues, you know, spending money in certain areas, because I'm always like, oh, what happens tomorrow? Got to save money, all this stuff. But they've really helped me to see outside the box. They've helped me in the idea of acquiring a firm. They've helped me in the idea of hiring associates. We're at 8 associates now. They've really pushed me in areas that I was really scared.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I have, I'm really working through a lot of my money mindset issues. You know, one half of my family, it was save your pennies. And then the other half were more of the entrepreneurs. And, you know, I've kind of had that dichotomy back and forth my entire life too. And just the more that I've invested in coaching and grown and also taken a step back and reflected at certain decisions and how things played out and said, wait a minute, like, okay, that was a smart, calculated decision. It wasn't reckless. And it worked out great versus, hey, we tried something, a new marketing initiative. You know what? Okay, what's the worst that can happen? We lose $5,000. We lose $10,000. That's, you know, a lot of money. But now in the grand scheme of things, it's worth the chance. It's worth the opportunity to try it and test it and see, because if you don't go for it, you'll never know. And I feel like there's too many people in today's world that are playing small, that aren't going for it and really trying to push to see what they can build, to see what they can achieve. And I think that's one of the big differences between, you know, the ultra successful people is they're constantly pushing. And most of the time is they're pushing themselves for growth more than anything, you know, kind of like a daredevil, you know, would do, or extreme sports, you know, they're really trying to push there and test their own limits. Well, I think it's kind of similar in the business world.
I completely agree with you. If you let fear take over, then you're not taking the risks that you should be taking to grow your business. And as easy as it sounds, it's super hard, but you just got to mentally prepare yourself. I think that, not that you asked this, but I think that a big part of my growth is also a vision board. I have my vision board on my computer screen as my backdrop. I look at it numerous times a day. And I think that even subconsciously, when I'm not looking at it, I'm just working on the computer, but I see it. I think that my brain registers it. And if you put your dreams down right in front of you, I think that you work towards them in a different way. You know, you're not telling yourself, oh, I want this really nice car. I want this really nice house. No, it's on the screen. You know what you're working towards. And you're just constantly reminding yourself and your subconscious of the things that you want.
You know, I really, really love that. And I'm going to start doing that because I'm a very visual person. I need to see things and get that exactly same thing, whether it's in the front of my mind or the back of my mind. You know, I was a pretty good basketball player growing up. And when I was in middle school and high school, I always wrote out my yearly goals and I always had it in front of me and would look at it. And one thing that I did at the very beginning of COVID, I listened to a Brené Brown speech. And she talked about the Teddy Roosevelt quote, the man in the arena, which I guess for 2023, we can kind of change that, you know, to make it more PC. But the man in the arena from 1910 was part of a speech that President Teddy Roosevelt gave. And Brené Brown quoted it and talked about it. And this was, you know, first week in COVID, right? When everybody thought the world was ending, everybody thought their business was going to crumble. Criminal defense lawyers, you know, we were very nervous, although I think part of our big success is I made some very smart choices to steady the ship and to rally the troops. But what I did is I went on Etsy and I found a canvas of the man in the arena and I put it up in my bedroom and it's still there every day. And I look at it every single day. And whether it's conscious or unconscious or subconscious, just having it there for 3 years, it kind of motivates me like, all right, today's a new day. Let's be that man in the arena. Let's get to work, right? Let's not care about what anybody says and let's just blood, sweat, and tears and move on. And that's something, looking back now that you mentioned it, has really helped and motivated me. So I really like the vision board thing. I think I'm going to go ahead and do that as well.
You should. And there's three parts of the vision board that you should keep in mind: personal, professional, and financial. So I split it in three.
Okay. All right. Perfect. I'm definitely going to be on that. So now, Sam, you also said that you are a teacher. So where do you teach?
So I have been teaching at Florida International University for the past 5 years. The first year, my husband and I taught probate, guardianship, and estate planning at the law school. And then the last 4 years, I've been teaching at the Honors College, and I've been teaching a course called epistemology. Nobody understands what that means, but just to make it simple, I'm teaching freshman honors kids more about the law. So I teach them about guardianship. I teach them about the whole Britney Spears movement. I teach them about different family law issues. So we talked about Johnny Depp and his divorce and his lawsuit. I just try to bring in things that are going on in the world, but from a legal perspective, and explain to them how Florida courts work.
And so why did you choose to do this? I'm sure you have a lot of other things going on in your life, personal, professional, spiritual, you know. So why did you choose to go ahead and do this? It's definitely not for the money, right?
No, you don't make very much money teaching as an adjunct professor. I really, really, really love teaching. And I thought, what better way to get experience and also conquer my fear of public speaking than to push myself to go in front of a room full of 80 students. And so if you would have asked me 5 years ago, I was super afraid, always like had everything prepared ahead of time, practicing my lectures, all that kind of stuff. Now, 5 years later, I can jump into a room and start discussing with, you know, things that I've been teaching for many years now. And it just helps me feel more comfortable in a public setting. So I think that it's always been my calling, and I wanted to see if, you know, the opportunity came about, and it just worked out in my schedule.
Great. Well, Sam, I have Googled you and found you on ratemyprofessors.com.
Oh, God. I better have the chili pepper.
I don't know about that. 84% would take again.
Oh, good. Good
and
to know.
Your top tags are tough grader, participation matters, clear grading criteria, gives good feedback, and respected. So,
oh, very good to know. I haven't looked at that.
So you have good scores. Okay. Perfect. Well, and look, again, that's something that you're choosing. You're getting a great benefit from the tangible and intangible skills that you're learning, but you're giving back to our local community, right? You're going back to teach, to educate. And I'm sure you put a different spin on it than most professors who are tenured, who are there just to show up. You know, you're probably putting in your blood, sweat, and tears into that as well.
Definitely.
from your heart. All right. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick little break to hear a word from our sponsor, the Rawson Law Firm, and we'll be back.
When something bad happens, who do you turn to? In South Florida, the answer is the Rawson Law Firm. Criminal and DUI defense for when bad things happen to good people. The Rawson Law Firm is a team of 8 criminal defense attorneys, including 2 board-certified criminal trial experts. They also have federal and white-collar divisions in the practice. To learn more about the team and how they can help you, connect on Facebook and Instagram at Rawson Law Firm. Also find helpful and entertaining videos on Rawson Law Firm YouTube channel. Just check this episode's description for all the ways you can connect.
All right, and we're back on the Success in South Florida podcast with my special guest today, Sam Aboukadir. Now, Sam, we had talked a lot just about your life and your career and, you know, building the law firm. So one thing I really want to get into is let's start off with the role of mentors that you've had in your life. So who would you say have been some of the most impactful people, you know, to get you where you are today?
So when I was in law school, I went to a Hispanic bar event, even though I'm not Hispanic, and they had us pull from this like bowl, a mentor. And he is still somebody I speak to regularly. His name is Thomas Gamba, and he was my mentor through law school. When I was an associate, I called him when I was thinking about starting my own firm. He is a really, really, really respected medical malpractice attorney here in Coral Gables, Florida. And, you know, he was able to give me really good advice. I would ask him any sort of questions that I thought regarding the business, regarding bringing in business, all those types of things. So he has been a very good mentor to me. Another mentor was the administrative probate judge that my husband and I both interned for a little bit after law school. And after I got my license, I went back to work for her, Judge Maria Korvik. And she is one of the strongest women that I knew in the probate world. And she would always give me little tips here and there as an intern and when I worked for her as a staff attorney. So getting advice from a strong female was also really, really good for me, because I think that Miami is a very hard city. I think it's hard for many reasons, but I'm not Hispanic. I don't speak Spanish. My husband does. And thinking of starting my own business as quickly as I did, I didn't have time to think about it. I didn't have a business plan. I didn't have a budget. I didn't have anything. I just kind of jumped into it, which I don't recommend, but it worked out for me. I think having strong people in your corner and people that are that respect you and respect your reputation and build your reputation are super important. This is a hard market to sell in. So I'm Arab American, I'm Palestinian American, and I'm viewed as different. So I think that it's actually helped me when you stand out and you have a strong reputation and you're going to all of these events and fundraisers for judges and, you know, doing good work in pro and family court. Those are things that will, you know, follow you down the line. So I think that has been really, really important.
You know, law is very competitive. Sometimes it can be, you know, kill or be killed. How did you find that older lawyers and judges were, you know, were they eager to mentor you or mentor young lawyers? Did you find them helpful or did you really have to fight and claw to build, you know, that group of mentors?
I'm going to share a story that that I think answers this question perfectly. When I applied to do the externship with Judge Maria Korvic, I called the JA like I was told through my law school, and I was immediately denied. Like there was no chance. And I needed it because it was 6 credit hours. So I needed it on the schedule. So I needed to know ahead of time. And she didn't even give me the opportunity to like say anything, the JA. She was like, nope, we're already full for the semester. I called back a couple weeks later because I don't take no for an answer. Like I'm a mean negotiator. That's not going to happen. I called back a couple weeks later and she's like, I've already spoken to you. And I said, we didn't have anybody, but if we have anybody that drops out, I'll let you know, honey, but this is not happening. So I'm like, crap, what am I going to do? I would have to take 2 other classes and I really want to learn probate. So I went to an event randomly and I saw Tom Gamba, one of my mentors, and I was just sharing that he was like, oh, what classes are you taking next semester? And it randomly came up like in conversation and I told him, yeah, you know, I've been trying to get this externship with this judge. I'm not sure if you know her, but I'm hoping that somebody drops out. Otherwise, I got to figure out my schedule. And he's like, oh, I've got to run to the bathroom. I'll be right back. He runs out like 2 minutes, comes back and he goes, you start on Monday. And I was like, wait, what? And I was like, start what on Monday? He goes, the internship with Judge Maria Korvic. And I was like, what did you do? And he's like, don't worry about it, honey. You start on Monday. And so it's so important to be in the right room at the right time, because I would have totally given up on that. Like I had already tried twice. I didn't make it anywhere. So that's how Miami works. And I'm sure that's how everywhere works, to be honest. It's who you know and the timing of things. You know, I wasn't complaining. I was just telling him, I don't know what my schedule is going to be like for this reason. So I really think that if you're going to the right events, if you're connecting with the right people with strong reputations, those things always follow you and you're able to create, you know, your business and your self-image and your brand and everything around that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And so that's an amazing lesson in I would say, number one, it would be get to yes, which is the 5th Rawson Law Firm core value. It's also a great lesson in just, you know, who you know and your network being your net worth, right? And having mentors but also being a good person. If you weren't a good person, if you didn't, you know, build people that know you, like you, and trust you, then, you know, he easily could have just let that slide and said, I don't want to help her, and she'll never know the difference.
Right.
But that's a credit to you and the relationship that you built at a young age while in law school and being kind of having a little bit of that hustler mentality of putting yourself out there. I know for me, people think I'm an extrovert, but I'm actually a natural introvert. And I've worked really hard over 25 years, I would say, to push myself for these things. I remember, when high school basketball season was done, I wanted to get a job as a waiter. And I told my parents and they said, you don't like talking to people. And I was like, yeah, but it's good money. And I was like, but you know, maybe I want to be a lawyer and I'm good at talking to people that I know and are, you know, and I'm like, it'll help. Right. And I did that all through college and it really helped my speaking skills. It helped my organizational skills. And it really just forced me to go and look, I'm still not the person that'll ever go to a networking function and talk to 50, you know, people, but I have no fear with going up to strangers and talking and being able to carry or lead a conversation because I've put myself through that. I mean, once you do any kind of trial work and you get up and do a jury selection or voir dire in front of 30, 40, 50 strangers, you know, that's always the hardest part of trial. And once you do that a few times, you know, you can do anything, right? You can teach in front of 80 people in a room and, you know, at your classes and really do anything. So, I think putting all those things and constantly just trying to push yourself and get out of your comfort zone, I believe that's where growth happens. So that story encompasses a bunch of different philosophies that I believe in. So that was a great story.
It does. And it also reminds me of something else that I didn't mention. I also did an internship/externship with a criminal judge who I adore. She's still on the bench, Judge Marissa Tinker-Mendez. And she also took me under her wing. And I will never like forget that because she would have me sit next to her on the bench when we were having like murder trials, child rape trials. Like it was terrible, right? But I was a 1L and I was like, I want to see this stuff. I want to learn. And she would always take me in chambers when we had breaks and be like, what are you learning? What are the key points here? What did you think of this? What did you think of that? And she would always like show me the attention to detail that I needed to have. And it just, it's followed me to this day. She's awesome. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure she said, hey, these are great lawyers or these are not so good lawyers or not well-prepared lawyers and see the difference. And right. So did she ever say to you, hey, you know, like, I think the jury's going to come back guilty or not guilty. Did you guys ever play that game trying to decide now? Okay. Yeah. So what were her instincts? Was she right most of the time or was she wrong?
She was always right. Always freaking right. And I was like, how does she, as a kid, I was 22 at this time that I was sitting next to her on the bench. Right. I was like, how does she know this? This is brilliant. Like, how does she know how they're going to come back? She was always right. And she practiced criminal defense law with Roy Black's firm before she became a judge. So she worked at a very prestigious criminal defense firm. So I think that her intuition, her judgment, everything, like she had training and then just becoming a judge was strengthened everything. And she's still on the bench. She's yes. Doing great things.
We have cases with her all the time. Yeah. So next time I'll make sure that we say Sam says hi.
You know, slip in there. Yeah.
Right. So now when one other question I want to ask you about the externship with the probate judge. Your first day, you walk into chambers, and how was that talking to the JA?
I was terrified because I'm like, she's gonna think that I went behind her back after I already called several times to get what I wanted. And her name's Nancy. Nancy and I became BFFs. I mean, she's such a kind soul and she's no longer working as a JA, but we hit it off immediately. And she was one of my biggest supporters. Awesome lady.
Okay, good. So you didn't kind of walk in there and be like, see, I told you. No,
absolutely not.
Okay. But you turned somebody on your side, right? So somebody who, you know, it wasn't personal. She wasn't really against you, but she was against, I guess, the idea of you coming on. And then you turned her into a friend. That's a great quality to have. That's something that I know you and my wife have. You know, as you know, Kylie is a prosecutor in Palm Beach, and one of her most amazing skills is to be able to get buy-in from people. She's really, really, really good about that, about getting people just to, you know, her way of solving issues or conflict is getting people to really understand her perspective and her point of view. And she really brings people together, which is a very good quality that she has. I'm more of the bull in the china shop, but we each have our own ways, and her way is very successful for her, just like I'm sure it is for you. But I think you have a little bit of both, right?
Yeah, I think I do. I think there are times where I can, you know, I can get people to see my perspective, and there are other times where I have to force them to see my perspective and accept it. Right. So it depends.
And I think being flexible, right, is a great quality of any leader, about doing the right thing at the right time with the right people. So I think that's important,
it's
in being
super able. Super important, Adam, because it's also your image. Like, you go in front of a judge and they're always going to remember your demeanor, your personality, everything. That encompasses everything to do with your reputation. So you want to have a flawless image in front of the judges. You want to be known as the honest attorney. You want to be known as taking the clients that you believe in their case, not just taking any client.
And when we're talking about trying to make, you know, our South Florida community a better place, absolutely. You know, it's about building those relationships with clients. A lot of people say, oh, you know, in the criminal world, which tends to not have any real law firms, it's one guy or gal and their trusty sidekick, which sometimes is a person, sometimes could be a dog. And they're the, you know, they're Better Call Saul or they're the Lincoln lawyer. And over our rise over the last few years, a lot of people just say, well, what's their secret sauce? Or it's just marketing and flash. And no, it's not. It's, I mean, you know, we're good at marketing, but it's, we build relationships with people, real relationships. You know, I was sharing on Father's Day the text message that we got from one of our clients. And I was down spending Father's Day at Turnberry, at the JW Marriott Turnberry, taking my son to the splash pad. And I was in tears from this message. And I sent it, you know, we have a little lawyer group chat, and I sent it to everybody in the chat. And it was just amazing. And, you know, while we're kind of on that, I'll just read this to you, because this, I think, is what really encompasses being successful, especially in a location, right? Like South Florida, and try and saying, hey, we're doing things for many reasons, but a major reason is to make our place a better place to live, to work, just to be. And so this was the client's wife, the one that hired us. And she said, I hope you're having an amazing Father's Day. You know, quite a bit of time has passed since my husband came home, because her husband was in jail and then immigration jail for quite some time. But I wanted to let you, for something that was very minor, actually, but I wanted to let you know that often, especially on holidays such as today, birthdays and Christmas, et cetera, when we're together, I remember all of the hard work that you, Susan, Meddy, and everyone at your team who worked on my husband's case put in to restore our family and get him such an amazing outcome. I just wanted to let you know that I'm eternally grateful. You are so very appreciated. Please keep doing what you do. The world needs more people like you. And
that's what makes us do what we do, Adam.
Exactly.
Like, that is the nicest message. Sorry to jump in, but that is the nicest message a client could ever send an attorney, because it makes you feel like you've made a difference in this person's life and you've changed her life, to be honest. You know, you don't know what would have happened to her husband had they not hired your firm.
He would have been deported, guaranteed. We did more immigration work for him than the immigration attorneys, actually. It was, I mean, yeah, like, she was let down by about four different immigration attorneys. And I have tremendous respect for her, because a lot of it was her perseverance combined with our perseverance and technical skill that got it done. But I think of that, and obviously that, you know, brought me to tears. I shared it with all of our attorneys, and I'll have the why we do what we do, and I'll send a screenshot. But, you know, and why we give so much of ourselves for others. But what really struck me, especially reading that back just now, is that it's every holiday. And the impact that we have goes beyond the message, because that was just one message that she had probably wanted to send me for 2 years. After Christmas and New Year's and other Father's Day and her Mother's Day and her children's birthdays, knowing that the father is there. And he's a great guy. He's an amazing dad, right? But knowing that the family unit is intact, because that entire family would have had a decision of stay without dad or move back to the country that he was going to be deported to. And it's just, you know, it's just, again, it's, we talk about building businesses and things like that, but true success is situations like this, when you really have that and you can see and feel the impact.
I think that you hit on the head. I think that we do what we do not to make money, despite what people think. It's to actually solve people's problems and do it in an ethical and positive manner, right? They can hire any attorney out there. And that's why it's so hard to find the right attorneys. But when they find an attorney that they can actually trust, and they feel like it's family, and they feel like they're going to do a good job, that's the right choice. You trust who you're hiring to make sure that your family's taken care of. And in the criminal defense world, it's the same in family and probate, probably more so in family, because we're handling somebody's divorce. We're handling somebody's child support, child custody. These are things that are permanent, just like their convictions, their charges. Like, this is something that follows them forever. If you make a decision in family court, it's very hard to change it, right? Nobody understands that.
Right, yeah.
So when we're striving and working like all day, all night to make sure that they're getting the results that we feel are fair, those messages are what keep us going every single day.
Absolutely. I love just being the person at a party or barbecue or gathering, and people get on the topic of what I do and how can you represent those people, or all the questions that people have. And to me, it's fun because I just love, and I use that as an opportunity to enlighten people about what we truly do and how we make the community a better place through criminal defense. So I look at that as an opportunity. And look, I tell people, ultimately, we are in the customer service and the client relation and community relation business and community building business. And how we do that is through criminal defense. But that's what we're in. We're in customer service and client relations first. It just so happens, you know, we do it by being really, really, really good criminal defense lawyers. So now, Sam, what advice would you have to, and this could be young person in college who wants to be a lawyer, it could be a law student, it could be somebody who's not even, you know, just general business or general life advice, but what advice do you have to others?
I would tell them not to quickly jump into whatever their family's telling them what to do in their future. I would tell them to do their research, do as many internships as possible in different fields, and make sure that you're going to law school, or you're getting into medical school, or whatever your degree is going to be after you've done your research and decided that this is what you want to do. Because I would have never gotten into this area had I not done my research, had I not interned for different people, had I not talked to lawyers, and seen what this life would be like. And it has provided my family and I with a life that I would have never, ever in a million years imagined. And for that, I am so thankful. I believe in the American dream, as corny as that sounds. And we wouldn't be where we are at today if I would not have done my research and really gone into an area that I knew I could make a change in.
Okay, perfect. One last question that I have for you, and I want you to think about this really hard.
Sure.
Do you love to win, or do you hate to lose?
Dang.
It's a good question, right?
Yeah, that's a really hard one, actually. Do I love to win, or do I hate to lose? I love to win.
Okay, now why?
So in doing mindset work over the last, I would say, 3+ years as an entrepreneur, I don't put language like lose in my vocabulary. There's no losing, there's no loss, there's only winning. So I love to win. There's a positive outlook. It's the way you say things. It's the way you think about things. And it's exactly like what I said about the vision board. When you put "you love to win" on your vision board, you're going to continue winning.
Okay. I love it. I think that's an amazing answer. So Sam, thank you very much. Now, where can people find you? So if somebody wants to just reach out for advice, maybe for an internship, maybe just to say, "Hey, I think you're amazing." Right. Where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram and social media at Lawyer Lady Boss. That's my handle. They can also.
You are verified, right?
Absolutely.
I see the blue check. Okay.
Absolutely. They can also find our website, www.flpfl.com. They can also email me at info@flpfl.com, or they can call the office at 305-677-5119.
Awesome. Well, Sam, thank you so much. This has been an amazing podcast.
Thank
I'm sure
you,
all of our listeners are going to love this, and tell Jose we'll probably get him on in a few months. He can be the star of season 2. So we won't forget about him. All right.
Thank you, Adam. I'll let him know. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.